We took our two grandsons, two of our grandsons, to see the Disney movie Inside Out. How many have seen Inside Out? Oh, there's a couple in the back there. Yeah. Well, spoiler alert. It's more for adults than it is for kids. It honestly is. It's fascinating, you know. Pretty creative. And just the basic plot, so I won't spoil it for you that haven't seen it. It was this from the makers of the, you know, the Pixar folks, and they told the story in a very creative way about a young girl, Riley, that was living a life full of joy, and she was doing really well, and it showed kind of inside of her, and it presented her emotions as characters, you know. And all these characters they showed at work, you know, kind of controlling Riley's life in a way. And at first it was kind of joy that was in control until the family moved from, what was it, Minnesota? Was that where it was? Minnesota, Wisconsin? I think it was Minnesota. To, I think, California. And all of a sudden, the emotions changed, and sadness became to play a bigger part in her life. Well, joy didn't like that too much, and so joy tried to stop sadness, only to find out that actually they get trapped in a part of this girl's mind, Riley's mind, and they can't get back to help her. And in the process, they find out, joy finds out that sadness is not always a bad thing, and if it is balanced. And it really is, it's a fascinating look at emotions. And you know, the thing is that Inside Out, it offers a great message of emotional honesty, right? For those of you that have seen it, emotional honesty. But the thing that it doesn't do, because it's not a Christian film, is it doesn't teach us how to live in balance in our life and not allow emotions to rule us, but to actually have us, by the Spirit of God, rule over our emotions. You know, Jesus was and is always our perfect example for what the perfect man, the perfect human being, would be like. And you know, Jesus had all kind of emotions, didn't he? He exhibited them. But the greatest thing about the Lord is that the Bible tells us that he had strength under control, that he was in control, even though he even got angry. You remember the money changer's whole thing? He even got angry, but he never sinned, the Bible tells us. Isn't that what it says, in your anger, sin not? Yeah. So, you know, in our lives, we sometimes think that we have to bottle up emotions. And you know, we sometimes try to swallow them and push them down. That's not good either, is it? No. But we need to find out how to have this balance in our life and how to allow God's Spirit to give us the power to actually live a healthy life, even from emotions that have been damaged in our lives. Amen? You know, I mean, what do you struggle with in your life? I mean, as we start this morning, just ask yourself these questions, you know. Which emotions do you struggle most to control? Does sadness or anger or depression rule over your life? And why? You know, why is that? Do you have a balance, a good balance of joy and peace? And if not, why? I mean, what's going on? Knowing the answers to these questions according to God's Word allows us to find, to seek, and to find healing. Amen? Ha! Hey, listen, there are reasons we do what we do. There are reasons we think what we think, and there are reasons we feel what we feel. And not all of them are good. Right? As Christians, we got to understand that you know, we find ourselves sometimes stuck in the gap. Now listen, between the way we think life ought to be and the way we find out that it is in reality, you know? And in the process of that, we come sometimes to doubt God's goodness, even sometimes his presence in our lives. Sometimes we can feel distant and alone, which is painful. Do you know Jesus even experienced that? Come on the cross, right? Yeah. We can even begin to resign ourselves that that's just the way it's going to be in our life. That's just the way we are. We can even come to resign ourselves. In other words, come to say, I am the way I am and there's no hope for me. What a lie. You know where that lies from? I know you know. You know, the truth is there's hope and help in Christ. There's hope and help in Jesus. But we also always have a choice, you know, to move toward him or away from him. Isn't that what happens? We make those choices all the time to move either closer to him or further away from him. But listen, the message this morning is that he cares about these things more than we would even think or maybe sometimes know. He wants us healthy, spiritually, emotionally, physically. You know, spiritual health in the form of forgiveness, it happens instantaneously. Spiritual health, it happens like that the moment we accept Christ. You know, if we could see inside, we would know that when we believe in Jesus and we know that what he did on that cross, he did for us. When we put our faith in that and we ask him to forgive us, bang, instantaneously inside, we are cleansed. If we could see it, boy, wouldn't it be nice? Because we wouldn't have a single doubt in all of our lives that we are forgiven and cleansed from all of our sins. We are new. We are new creation, born again in spirit, right? Yeah. Emotional health, because it involves the deepest recesses of our heart and soul, our mind, our memory. Emotional health can take longer. It doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have it. But it's a process, isn't it? It's a process, especially when we realize that some of those patterns of hurtful thoughts happened a long time ago, started a long time ago. Sometimes even from the time we are born, our brain is already formed. Kim and I were talking about this. You know, she is, suffice it to say that she practices a lot of her profession on me. For those who don't know, my wife is educated in developmental processes in children, and she has become a behavior specialist, although she's still working on me. And, you know, she often talks in technical terms about the stuff that I want to talk about in spiritual terms today. But the thing is, we learn from early on, our experiences shape the way we think, feel, and act. And they create our perceptions of ourselves and others and God. Even the way we think about God is shaped from our experiences. You know, we're born with a desire to come to answer these two questions in our life, and I'm going to make it simple. I got to dumb down what she tries to teach me, because that's the only way I can understand it. We come to desire to know the answers to these two questions. Am I worthy of love? And are others capable of loving me? Those are the two questions that you have sought to find the answer for since when you were born. What we discover as the answers to these questions starts early, and it continues throughout our life to shape. It shapes our beliefs, and it has a really profound impact on how we see ourselves and others and God. Now, we know, right? Now, I'm not talking to anybody that doesn't understand this, that all of us carry within us things that have shaped our behavior, right? Shaped our attitudes, our thoughts, even our relationship. Sometimes we don't know everything that's going on inside of there, right? Sometimes we don't know, but many of us Many of us as Christians, we start to realize when we receive the Spirit of God, because he begins to reveal inside of us the things that he wants to try to help heal, change, become healthy, right? But so many Christians that don't know this word of truth are living at the mercy of their infirmities. You'll hear me use that word a couple of times today. Yeah. And when you're living at the mercy of your infirmities, you're living at the mercy of your emotions, never seeming to be able to overcome or be victorious over them. Remember the passage in Romans chapter 7 that we like to read about because it's kind of the story of what happens in our lives when we are honest with ourselves. What did Paul say? He said, you know, here I am, and I kind of am starting to know the good that I should do, and even kind of want to do it, but the good that I want to do, I don't do. It's the bad that I don't want to do, I do. You remember that passage in Romans chapter 7? And he ends up saying this in a fit of frustration. Paul, you know, just raises his hands and shouts out loud to us. He says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? But he doesn't stop there. You know, in your Bible, it actually flips over to a new chapter, but in the original scriptures, there were no chapter breaks. There were not even any verse markings. There's a continual thought going on here that you got to be able to see. Because when Paul said, who will rescue me from this body of the death? He answered it and said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he said, therefore there is now no more condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus. Ha, no more condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus. Doug, I want you to turn with me. You got to see this in print. So Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 8. And let's go down to verse 24 now. We've just read through chapter 7, paraphrased some of it. Got to chapter 8. We read that powerful opening. But now I want to go down and I want to read you. And I want you to see it on the screen. These powerful words that Paul speaks to us, that God speaks to us through the ages, ministers to us today. Look at verse 24. It says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? In other words, Paul's saying, hey, it's okay to be honest with yourself. God's not done working on you yet. It's okay. You're a work in progress. But there's hope. It's for what you not don't yet have. There's more victory in Christ. Who hopes for what they already has? No one. But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. Listen to this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our, what's the word? Now, I want you to take a pencil or a pen, and I want you to write beside that word weakness. It's true definition. That word weakness is actually from the Greek word. Now, I'm not going to get into the Greek, but I just want to make sure you understand the power of this. The Greek word is asthenia. Asthenia. It's where we get the word anesthetic from. Asthenia. That's because, listen, the concept of anesthetic, you know, when you get put under, it's like you get under the control of the drug that's knocking you out, right? The same concept is here when Paul is speaking about what gets translated in the NIV as weaknesses. It means a frailty in our minds, infirmities, weaknesses, same word, by the way, a frailness, a sickness, a weakness. And Paul, this whole chapter is talking about what's going on inside of us. And it says what? The Spirit helps us in these weaknesses. The Spirit helps us in these infirmities. The Spirit helps us. Now, I know we kind of jump to the end of this verse that says, and we don't even know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit helps us pray. But these are two different thoughts. And don't miss the first before you go to the second. The first is one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he can do for you when he comes into your life is he begins to search out your heart and he sees all that junk. He sees all those hurts and pains, all those frailties that have come through our lives. He sees them all. He sees them all, and better yet, he desires to put his finger on them, which hurts, by the way, in order for him to be able to help us cooperate with him in the healing process. Amen? In order for us to be able to cooperate with him in the healing process. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit begins in our lives when we accept Jesus as Savior. You got to understand, now I've talked about this before, so I won't go into the details, but just so we can, you know, connect these thoughts. When you're saved, you know, it is your spirit that instantaneously is saved. But now we're talking about our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. That's a process for us to be transformed, right? You see, that's what Paul said in later on in chapter 12. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your psuche, your soul, right? Be transformed by the renewing of that. That's the process that the Holy Spirit begins at salvation. It's not over, it begins there. Remember Wednesday night we were talking about this as the beginning of the process of healing and help in our lives. God begins to put his finger on the things that sometimes we don't like him to, because they're the hurts of our past. They're the things that we would like to forget, but the truth is we're never going to forget them, that we're just trying to repress them, cover them up. But they always will resurface in a lot of ways that are unhealthy in our lives. Are you hearing me? You know, see, for a Christian, you know, our life is like a pond, a lake, a pond. Growing up, we had a pond, I would call it. It wasn't big enough to be a lake, that was close enough for us to walk to go fishing to. And it was called the tire hole. Later I found out I was just hearing it wrong. It was called the tower hole, because it was a railroad tower along the Pennsylvania Mainline Canal. This was in Summerhill, Pennsylvania, right outside of the town that Kim and I grew up in, South Fork. Now the tower hole was a place where we could walk to fish, and so we did. And on the top it looked great. But little did we know as kids that people were dumping junk in there, you know, the whole time. And later, you know, after I left South Fork and I came back one time and went looking for the tower hole, I found it was a dead hole. No more fish. Because what was under, it looked fine on the top, Jim. It looked fine on the top. But underneath there was so much junk that had polluted that lake that it killed all the fish. Even though on the top it looked the same. You see, in our lives, that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, somebody looks at you, they may think, you know, oh yeah, Christian, they're fine. But underneath still resides all that junk that we need help removing. Amen? We need healing from. We need cleansing. We need the healing of the damage that has happened in our past. And God, through the Holy Spirit, this is what he helps us with. We need to understand this for two reasons. Number one, so that we can be patient with ourselves, allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to heal all that stuff. All right? Number two, now listen carefully, so that we can be more patient with other Christians. Because we realize, you know, God's still working on them. And that just as he gives us grace and mercy rather than condemnation and judgment, we need to give the same to others. Amen? Ah. Remember how we say it, God loves you just the way you are, but loves you too much to let you stay that way, right? But listen, let me tell you, because this is now a work in progress, you can either slow it down or speed it up depending upon your willingness. Your willingness to have God work in your life through the Holy Spirit after you're saved. Now, here's what I want to tell you. here is our part to play in this freeing and healing process. Are you ready? Six things. I can do it quick. One, first, we got to be able to face these problems. Let's call them what they are. These problems that are still within us, and we got to face them with courage and honesty, and we got to admit to ourselves that we still are being affected by our pasts. Amen? Number one. Second thing, very importantly, we need to accept our responsibility in this matter. Hey, you may have been the victim of a lot of things, and the things that happened in your life are not your fault. But now what you do with that, how you respond to that hurt, is now in your hands. Are you hearing me? Don't play the blame game that's so prevalent in our society today. Everybody wants to blame it on somebody else's fault. I am the way I am because of somebody else's fault. You'll never receive emotional healing until you accept the responsibility for your response to those reactions to the pain in your life. Amen? So third, I want to tell you, this is an important one. You have to ask yourself this question, the same question Jesus asked. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? You know, some people live so long with emotional hurts and pains that it becomes like a familiar piece of baggage in their life. And that's why Jesus comes and asks us that same question. Do you want to be healed? Or have you learned to enjoy the benefits of your hurt and pain? Hey, some people use it to get attention. You know, sympathy. Or maybe even in a sick way, try to get back with somebody else. Get retribution, you know, get back at somebody else. Amen? Which is why number four is that we have to learn in our lives to forgive any and everyone who has been involved in the hurts in our lives. Jesus makes it plain that no healing can occur inside until you're able to forgive those who have done evil against you. Is that easy? No. You know why? It's because in our minds we think offering forgiveness to somebody is like saying to them, it was okay what you did to me. And that's not the truth. That's not what God did when he forgave you. God didn't say, I'm forgiving your sins because it's okay what you did. No. Forgiveness is much different than that, and I'll talk about it in the ending. Sixth, we got to be able to forgive ourselves. This is a big one. It's ironic how some people can accept God's forgiveness but can never bring themselves to forgive themselves. It's amazing. You know, years ago I heard somebody say, if God forgives you, who do you think you are not forgiving yourself? Are you greater than God? Huh? But you see, the reason that God speaks about this, you know, even in commandments like love your neighbor as you love yourself, is that God knows that when you come to him, he needs to develop in you a healthy self-image for you to be healthy and whole inside and out. Amen? I'm not talking about pride. That's different. A healthy self-image of who you are now in Christ, a child of God, a son and daughter of his. Huh? So here, six, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where these problems are, put his finger on them, and help us then, and that rest of that verse, to know how to pray through them. Pray for the healing. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. You know, some of us crazy charismatics, we go so far to think that the rest of that verse is talking about speaking in tongues, and it has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. You know, when it says the Spirit helps us with groans and utterances that words cannot express, that's not talking about your prayer language, although it's a wonderful thing to have a prayer language. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you what this verse is about. It's about the Holy Spirit joining with us in our pains and being willing to utter groans about these things up to the Father on our behalf. That's revelation. That's a good word. That's a word you need to remember, that this verse, when you read it again, that the Holy Spirit is not only pointing these things out in your life so that you can be healed from them, but he's joining with you in offering groans and utterances that words can't even express. You know what that means. You've hurt so bad that you don't have words. Now the Holy Spirit joins with you, and guess what? Those groans and utterances go straight to the throne of God, where your healing comes from. Can I have a couple more minutes? You know, there's a story I got to share with you. It's a good one, good enough that I need to take the time. It's an interesting story, you know, for the purposes of helping us understand something. It was a story about Henry Ford, you know, when he was starting the Ford Motor Company. And his friend, a very gifted engineer, electrician called Charlie Steinmetz. Charlie was actually a dwarf, and he was deformed. And as the story says, you know, not very nice to look at. But he was one of the greatest minds in the world, especially in the regard to electrical engineering. And Henry Ford hired him. And one day in the Ford plant in Dearborn, Michigan, no one could get the plant up and operating when it came to a halt. So Henry Ford called in Charlie. This genius started working, putting around the generators, you know, and trying to figure out where all those problems were coming from. For a couple of hours, went over, threw the switch, and the Ford Motor Company was back in business. Now listen, a few days later, back in those days, now listen, it's that time period, Henry received a bill from Charlie for $10,000. Ford returned the bill to Charlie with this note: Charlie, isn't this bill a bit high for a few hours of tinkering around with those motors? And so Charlie adjusted the bill, and here's what he did. He sent it back to Henry Ford with these words written on it: for tinkering around with the motors, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Now let me tell you the reason that that's a good illustration. The Holy Spirit knows where to tinker in your life. The Holy Spirit knows where the problems rooted are, and he's willing to help you. Do you want to be healed? What is it that is still affecting you, maybe even poisoning your heart and soul? Do you know there's a great book on healing out called None of These Diseases? And in that book, it says, it's written by a doctor, a medical doctor. His name is S.I. McMillan. It says that 75 to 80% of all physical illnesses is not rooted in the physical realm, but in the realm of the heart and the spirit, in the emotional realm of life. Do you know what that means? That means what's going on inside of you can make you sick in a lot of ways. Physical symptoms and breakdowns could be the result of what? Well, let me give you a couple. Of the condemnation and guilt that the enemy is still heaping upon you. Remember chapter 8 started out by saying, there is now therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's conviction, but make no mistake about it, there's a big difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation and guilt. Conviction is good. It's good because it's what causes you to know you're doing wrong, but not in order to condemn you, in order to stop you from getting hurt, right? Did you ever hit your finger with a hammer? Hurts like crazy, right? You learn, though, don't you? Yeah, conviction is there for our good, not for guilt and condemnation, but many of us experience that the cause of our damaged emotion flows out of a failure to us to fully have received God's forgiveness and also to forgive ourselves. And by the way, to forgive others. Amen? Is to forgive others. Do you know it's true? Hurt people hurt people. I mean to tell you, we got to be willing to forgive others. Think about the people that have hurt you, disappointed you, let you down, even said nasty things about you. In your mind, you think that they owe you a debt, right? And you are all about collecting that debt, right? You must make those who have slighted you pay, to hurt like you've been hurt. Now, you might as well say yes, because I know this is what goes on in our minds. It's all about retribution. You want to become the grievance collector. Hey, can I just speak and stop preaching and go into meddling here for a minute? Marriages can become a natural hothouse, breeding this kind of tit-for-tat, debt collecting scenarios. Each spouse expecting the other to meet their emotional needs, to heal their damaged emotion, to fill their needs they've long been sought after. And you know what? When you don't have God as your source, you know what marriage becomes like? Two leeches sucking the life out of each other. In the process, destroying each other, themselves and their marriage, and sometimes the families around them. Husbands and wives can make great marriage partner, but they are lousy gods. Husbands, your wives cannot do for you what only God can do. Wives, your husbands cannot do. Did I say that wrong? Yeah, I did. Wives, your husbands cannot do for you what only God can do. Husbands, your wives cannot do for you what only God can do. Right? The great thing about God when he forgives us is he takes it one step further. He not only forgives, but then he uses the hurts, the scars, the disappointments, the resentments, the anger, all of life's garbage. And as the Bible continues in Romans chapter 8, he transforms them into good. Huh. We see it at the cross. That's why the cross is such a powerful image, church. You know, we saw what represented the world's worst form of injustice and Satan's evil attempt to kill our Savior. And we see how God turned it into the sign of victory. Amen? Jesus. Jesus is our wounded healer. I want to say that one more time before we get ready to pray. Jesus is our wounded healer. And I'm going to read what Paul was reading here in a second, Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was placed upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. It was a story about a young nurse who was taking care of a teenage boy who had lost the use of his legs and was amputated. They were both amputated. And the boy was scarred so much that he became so angry and bitter and resentful. This woman was hired to help him have the courage again to fight, to come back to life, even after such a tragedy in his life. And the boy just lived so much in the pain of what had happened that it came out of him in anger and resentment and bitterness. And this nurse, this Christian nurse, would not give up on him, would not give up on this boy, prayed for him daily. Lord, please get breakthrough to him. The boy got so angry at her one time for praying in his sight that he picked up a knife. Listen, True story. And he stabbed it into her leg. And when he did, he heard a thud. For the nurse that was helping him heal was a double amputee and was wearing two prosthetic legs. And when he looked and realized, the boy began to cry. And he realized that this woman could relate to him. Now, my beloved friends, in the same way, Christ can relate to you. He was wounded. He was rejected. He was despised. The chastisement that brings us peace was placed upon him. But by his stripes, you can be healed. Stand with me. Jesus not only bore our sins on the cross, but he bore the feelings of our infirmities that we would not have to bear them alone. The Bible says we have a high priest, Jesus, who is able to sympathize and know our infirmities and weaknesses. God only knows, but he cares. He completely understands our deepest pain and our damaged emotions. And he wants to have us join him in the healing process. With our cooperation, he can do it. He can touch you this morning. He can touch those hurts that no one else in your life is able to, if you let him. My prayer for you, even as we come to the altar today, and as we just open the altar up, I don't want you to leave this place today without a touch of God on your life. Jesus is able to understand, and he's able to heal. As we pray, we want to be able to join with you and pray. And I believe that you can be healed standing, but I got to be honest with you. I believe that the act of your will in stepping forward to come to the altar is a sign for God that you are opening your heart, those recesses of your heart, for him to come in. It's a step of faith, an act of your will that God will honor today. And so I'm asking you to consider coming, opening, and allowing God to come in. Would you come?